And then they'll come up with arguments like, you know, you're a foreigner, don't tell us what to do. And I'm like, see, I can counter that with, well, my wife and child are Japanese. So
yeah.
Really, no, this is about me too.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, you know, this is where it starts again. You know, they just use against you that you're not Japanese. You know, I think if something is wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter, you know, what passport you're wearing or whether or not you have black hair, you know.
It's a debate, and there's money involved. So they'll pull the racist card if they want to.
Yeah. It's not working, apparently.
Not with me, it's not.
Yeah. So,
we're back on Taiji. What is Taiji? Taiji is the most visible symbol of what's wrong with the oceans today. It has a human face with pictures online of people who are brutal, greedy, and foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Taiji is a place where people can go. They can see the wrong happening. We've got glaciers melting. We've got CO2 levels rising and forests being burned down, and yet it's hard to go and protest at these places. What's happening in Taiji is so small, so clear. We go down to Taiji. I run the Taiji Visit Project. We go to Taiji. We can interview people. We can go to the government. We can talk to them and be ignored by them. We can go to the slaughterhouse. We can go to the supermarket. We can take pictures of all of the dolphin meat. They got dolphin penis for sale. How about that? 500 yen, about $5. Lovely. We can see the kills. Climb up the hill and see the kills. Everything is a very tight location. Get yelled at. So far, no violence has happened.
Okay.
I have to give them that. The hunters, they really are against. They will yell at you, push back a little bit.
Hmm.
There was a case of a guy who was there with ARD, a guy named Hans Peter, who was hit over the head on camera with a sign. That was pretty bad, I guess. But generally, we're just talking this line of conflict. But it's very visible, and it's a problem. People doing something with it, you know, fine killing beautiful animals. But we can argue the beauty, obviously. But they're selling the poison meat, and it's being consumed all over Japan. It's wrong.
So there's then different sorts of concern here. One is the health risk when you consume it, because we have the same thing when you look at our battery hands. You know, they sit on top of each other and they poo on top of each other, and then the poo goes into what they eat, and then they get consumed. So, you know, the food that we eat is
what animal is this?
This is the chicken, the regular chicken.
Hens.
You know. It's just so again, it doesn't make sense from a health point of view anyway these days, or probably never, to eat meat, because it's also very processed, and it's so. But that's another issue. The other thing is that what is surprising at times is that there's films out like The End of the Line that only sort of speaks out about overfishing. It's not about not killing the fish. It's about overfishing. While most people that I know that would be activists are genuinely saying it's also about the killing, the decimation of species, and the consuming them in the first place. So it is very, very wise to use the health issues as an argument. But I think, you know, bottom line is that there's also a number of species in decline.
I agree. Yet the convincing argument with the local people in Taiji, or with Japanese now that I've brought into an awareness, hundreds of people, I guess, that I've spoken to, people who I work with, it's really the mercury issue that sells the case, that closes the case, that makes it real. It has to end. it's a day-to-day thing. Don't put dolphin meat in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for our bodies. It causes mercury poisoning, causes all sorts of illnesses, I guess. Starts with numbness. There are skin problems. There are dementia problems.
Is it expensive? I mean, is it viewed as a delicatessen thing, or is it viewed as something that is affordable to all, or what's the story behind it?
Yeah, it's a good question, because, and as I said, if you ask your regular Japanese person, they're going to say, we don't eat dolphin. In fact, they're going to, I know people who have seen the pictures and said that that's a lie, that they actually cannot accept that that is happening, has happened, it's all staged.
All right.
Well, what happens is that there's a label that the Japanese use. There's the dolphin we call the Risso's dolphin is labeled here as a whale. Now, It's about the size of a bottlenose dolphin, and maybe a little bigger, but the meat is sold as whale meat.
Okay.
It's a stretch by anyone's imagination. It's a scientific stretch. It's a cultural stretch. You look at these things. They're in aquariums. People look at these and they're like, "Well, that's a dolphin, right?" Well, dolphins and whales, they're of the same. They're both in the same family. Is that cetacea?
Mm-hmm.
So they're the same root, whether they're big or small. But we're dealing with these small, cute little animals that are called whale, and people say, "Oh, I'm not eating a dolphin, I'm eating a whale," because the salesperson calls it a whale.
All right. So it does make a difference to them, at least on a subconscious level, how cute they are.
I think it does, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's the problem an underlying problem, I think, of society is also, like, I mean, look at the stigma that the rats have to endure and the mice have to endure. You know, there would be a big outcry, and there is a big outcry because, you know, laboratories are using monkeys and dogs, you know, rather than mice. There would be less of an issue if they would use the mice, even though we know that animal tests, 95% of animal tests, doesn't, regardless of what species you use, are inconclusive for humans.
And there would be more of an issue if, after the monkeys were tested, that the meat were consumed.
Yeah,
the meat was consumed. Then people would be in a higher uproar. More people, your average people, would be. And that's what's happening in Taiji. That's why we're starting with this. I hope that is my message for your listeners here, that they can be aware of what's happening in Taiji. It's a symbol of the worst,
mm-hmm.
and it's time to end it. It's time to end it.
And how realistic do you think it is? Because, I mean, that's the other question behind it. I know that it's the keeping going that will eventually bring about the change. So is it, you know, for the international community, sort of, you know, sending emails to lawyers, to mayors or whatever, does that have an impact at all?
There was a Greenpeace article that talked about, a spokesperson for a prime minister of Japan who was leaving office, and he said, since I've been in office, how does that work? The total sale from dolphin meat is like 1/10 of the sale of toothbrushes in Japan.
Wow.
And yet, it has given me headache after headache after headache in this administration. So, yeah, the pressure you have, when we're aware of dolphin kills, we send out the information through Facebook. Please join Facebook.
Absolutely.
Find me on Facebook. We'll get that contact information on the internet site. Or I run a website. Iruka Friends, I-R-U-K-A-F-R-I-N-D-S, Iruka's Dolphin.org, And there's, you can contact me through there.
Yeah, if you send this to me, you know, on Skype or on Facebook, I can then just put it up on all my websites.
Okay, great.
Because people can also become a fan of the show on Facebook. It's just simple. It's www.facebook.com/wildtimeradio, and we will put up all the information there as well.
Great. Okay, and feel free to contact me to work through this. Letters, if there are people calling for letters, I know that Save Japan Dolphins often calls for writing letters. I think this is helpful because of what we hear afterwards, that what headaches. I recommend that not to email, but to fax or to send an actual letter. But here's something. We're working on getting the dolphin meat out of school lunches in Japan through a letter-writing campaign where people would put together their letters in their communities that they handwrite, put them in a packet, and mail them, and then we'll mail them to, we'll deliver them on camera in a press conference with some celebrities if we can rustle them up, and deliver these letters on camera saying, get the meat out of school lunches. Do not put this in school lunches in Japan. So we're working on a letter campaign. If there are people who want to be involved, they want to hear that, they want input, they want to see how that builds, I'm very, very, very accessible on Facebook. I'm the one with the head of the dolphin with the horns.
Yeah, it's. I mean, your name is quite easy. People just go to Stephen Thompson, and there you are.
Well, really, the problem is if there are many Stephen Thompsons, I don't know. But Stephen Thompson Osaka, maybe I'll pull it up. But yeah. Otherwise, yeah. Iruka
and Friends. And even your link is already on our fan page. So if people go to Wild Time Radio, facebook.com/wildtimeradio, and have a look at Fans of Wild Time, they see about the interview and they see the link right to your page. You know, and we put it up on our blog, so probably just to make that easier then.
Okay. You know? Good. Well, let's see. Where are we here? Where would you like to go? Where do you think the listeners? What else would the listeners like to know?
Well, the main thing is what I often hear from people is let's boycott these countries. We have that a lot with China. I think the general consensus is that they are the worst with regards to animal rights. You know that. So that's the general consensus. Boycotting often though means that I have nothing to do with it, so I'm not helping. And looking the other way is complacency. So that doesn't really work. What I would like to know is what else are you involved in, and could we get involved with, and how could we really make a difference? Would it make a difference if we would try to get a group of people to come to Osaka and then go to Taiji? What is the idea, you know, what would make a difference? What is it we can actually sort of really do to tackle this?
Okay, there's two programs. The first one is a Taiji visit program where you are, you can just be aware of who's gone down. It's just a small group so far. We just started this year. Leslie Ann from Canada, Olympic level fencer. Mimi O'Young with this budding international group Oceanic Defense went down recently. Christie, a university student, and then now I mentioned. And soon in the next week here, we got a first Scotsman coming. Otis Shaw is coming. University student, in his just turned 30, I guess. He's had a lot of experiences before he went to university. He'll be going down. These are people really want to see. So if you want to know, all these people blog, all these people take pictures. If you want to see what they do, how they do, how they're treated, the stories are fascinating. If you want to go down yourself, we'll help you go down. We supply a cell phone so that you get automatic translation service. And I'm a volunteer, by the way. This comes out of my budget. We're looking for money.
Welcome to the club.
we do survive on these on donations.
So people can they send you donations via your Facebook page or one of your websites?
Just call. We work in partnership with a nonprofit organization. If you live in the States and if you live outside of the States and you want to get this a tax benefit. We'll see what we can do. But we've worked with donations in the States. Money is incredible. So money's incredible, and awareness. And then I hope that there are listeners here who want to be part of the planning stage, of the activist stage. So maybe they can't go, but they want to know. They really want to know. And there are things I cannot Facebook about. There are things happening in the next month that are. I do undercover investigations in Taiji, and these investigations cannot be made public until they're done. Mm.
So it's always a good crack. It's good detective work involved. Yeah. I mean, you know, it is often the case, and I always say it to people, you know, rescuing animals or campaigning for animals, it doesn't really matter how you do it and what you do. In most cases, because you know it's the right thing to do, it's also a lot of good fun.
Yeah. When you enter a society of people, a group of people, a group of friends, and we share. We got our first spy. We found a spy. So we had a purging of one person. They were given a chance to defend themselves. Of course, you need to be tested somewhat as you get involved, and throughout. We're always on the lookout for real people, or false people, but false supporters. There's a lot of money involved here on the other side.
Yeah,
we don't have much money, just enthusiasm. But
the other thing is, you know, we're talking about money. When you look at films like The End of the Line that has been screened a few months ago, and I did an interview with Claire Lewis, the producer. They have these guys from Mitsubishi, I think it is, in Tokyo, and you know they buy a lot of the fish and sort of keep them frozen. So if they go extinct, then they can sell it for triple the price and stuff.
The bluefin
tuna. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And you kind of see this and you think like, well, I always thought Mitsubishi is doing my cheap toaster at home, you know, or cars or something.
So
it's amazing because I mean when you look at it, these are huge. Concerns and this is also huge factories, a lot of money involved. So
we're a guerrilla group. I'm looking for donations. Small donations help, and then your input helps, your energy helps. A few donations would go a long time.
Yeah.
Would you also be able?
Do you do raffles or something? Because a lot of people that I know. I know a lot of musicians, for instance, and we all make our own CDs that nobody buys anyway, but we spend the money on it. So a lot of people would say, look, I spend 5 or 10 of my CDs and sign them. You can use them in a raffle.
Raffle. Well, so far we're just appealing for donations instead of selling things.
You wouldn't pay for them. They would donate them. But because they spend their money on the CD, they have no money left to spend. You know, that's what I often do. I'm a musician myself. I have a lot of CDs, and 20% of the proceeds of my CD go to an animal shelter here in Ireland. But oftentimes when people say, look, we really need money, I said, look, you know, don't ask me for money. Because again, I'm also a volunteer, you know, spending my time doing this radio show in different formats. But I offer, look, I sign 5 of my CDs. For which I already sort of, you know, spend a lot of money on, and donate them. And I know a lot of people that would do that.
Sure.
You know, so just an idea for you. If you want 5 CDs, send me a text. I send you some. You know, they also make good Christmas gifts.
Hey, okay.
So that's just an idea for people because I noticed the one thing that I noticed a lot especially in 2009. I mean, this year. I talked to many people from different countries. I talked to people in Bulgaria and in Germany and in different places. And they're all looking for money, and then the money doesn't come because, you know, people are so focused on what the paper tells them about the recession and keep your money together. So that money seems to be tight everywhere.
I really don't think so. When with Taiji, because we have a visit program, and I didn't even get the final one is a monitoring program. It's so fun, it's so happening, where there's a group of local people We're talking people in Taiji who must remain secret, neighboring areas. And what they do is they're given their gas payment and a small stipend to be involved in telling us whether there are dolphins in the cove. This has got to be better funded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But the result is tangible right away. We find if there are dolphins being killed, we get someone to go down. And then there are train expenses as well, gas expenses if we drive. It's about 5 hours away. But the results are tangible. It's in your face. It gets broadcast all around. It gets spread.
Mm.
And then the letters go out. Faxes go out. And it's something that people become aware of and become a part of. So please, if you feel a calling for this, this is another message. If you feel a calling to be involved, contact me. Find out what's happening, and you see where you fit in. There's a process here where an acquaintance of mine, Jack Healy, he was leading Amnesty International in the heyday when U2 became so big with Amnesty International in America. And Jack Healy advised me by telephone. He said, if you can get celebrities involved, it may be the most difficult thing you've ever done, but it increases your work exponentially.
Yeah, so I believe, absolutely.
With IrukaFriends.org, we had a Hollywood actor, Bill McNamara, write a letter to the mayor of Kyoto that has so far stopped the building, and with a lot of support here, groundwork support. I lobbied them as well, the mayor of Kyoto, but it has so far stopped the construction of a dolphin show aquarium place.
All right.
Called a dolphinarium. That's what we call dolphinariums in Kyoto. Kyoto City, shocking that they would want to do this at all. But so on Irico Friends, you can read his letter in English and Japanese, and mine as well. And we're going to use that as a letter page. And then Ben Stiller stepped forward for Rick O'Berry. Louis Sahoyas with the movie The Cove.
Yeah.
Has celebrities involved. Hardy Jones, a blue voice, has Ted Danson, American actor, involved.
Yeah, who also did he also did the narration for The End of the Line.
Okay. Hey. Yeah, there's a limited number of people so far, but if anyone knows a celebrity is interested in discussing, what we have here now is a very unique position. There is a Japanese they're Japanese celebrities, but of course if they step forward they would probably get knocked down. Blackballed probably. But what we have is they're Western celebrities, Western people who are actually Japanese celebrities, actual Japanese celebrities, and they have their own TV shows. They often appear on other TV shows. These are famous people in Japan. They've been stepping forward to say, if you can get some Western celebrities to give us some cover, then we would like to be involved in helping to facilitate this issue.
Hmm.
with the full Japanese celebrities, because once the word gets out, then the Japanese celebrities are going to be more less cautious. And
exactly,
more,
and they have more support, able. Yeah.
Right, so this support has got to be built. So we're really looking at these, this is what I'm looking at, these tracks. There are other people looking at the new government in Japan, where the Prime Minister of Japan has said on record, he says, I don't eat whale meat. Hatoyama Yukio, the Prime Minister of Japan, has said he doesn't eat dolphin. I mean, he doesn't eat whale meat. Wow, first time ever. Wow,
yeah, yeah.
We got some hope here. So I really hope for, I really hope for more support. I feel it coming, man. I feel the support coming. We have in October 10th, 2010. There's a biodiversity conference, the worldwide, it's called the COP 10. There's been a COP 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now we got COP 10 at 10, October 10th, 2010 in Nagoya. This is forests and rivers and species we're talking about. What's happening in Copenhagen, that's with climate change. That's the deal with biodiversity is going to happen in Nagoya. We hope to end the dolphin kills by then.
That would be quite an achievement. It would be quite good. We have to leave it at that because we are at the end of our time slot here.
Right.
Thank you so much. I mean, we could do this all day because it's so interesting. And so before I let you go, please send me an email on Facebook and I can, so with all your links, so I can put them up properly on the blog. And before we go, just give out your contact details one more time, please.
Okay. My name is Stephen, Steven Thompson, Thompson. What's really simple is Iruka Friends, Iruka, Friends, FRINDS dot ORG. Also on Facebook, Stephen Thompson.
So as long as people get hold of you, that's the main thing, because then you can contact you and can deal with that. If I would have known that you're from Detroit, I would have brought in Kiss, Detroit Rock City, but I don't have that. So.
Hey, you could have brought in Kiss, that'd be good. let's get Gene Simmons.
Yeah, they actually play Dublin for the first time in their career in May, and guess who's got some tickets?
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean, I saw them a couple of times, you know, but... My very first CD that I released in 1990 was dedicated to Paul Stanley from Kiss. You know, so anyway, you know, they have a huge they you know, when I was younger, when I was a child, they had a huge impact on me, and I still listen to them, you know.
Well, hey, if we could get a Kiss member involved, just to if they just knew what was happening, they could judge how.
I just don't think it would be Gene Simmons because he publicly states he doesn't believe in charity. So probably Paul Stanley or something, because he's
really
a pain.
Okay,
thank you so much for talking to me, and I will contact you over the next couple of days on Skype anyway, just to give you some updates and we find out about the dates, how we do this, you know. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Talk soon.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Talk to you later. Bye.